We continue this morning thinking about the resurrection, reminding us all that we continue to be Easter people. We might have celebrated Easter 2 weeks ago, but we every Sunday have the opportunity to have a little Easter, a little resurrection celebration in our time of worship. So I invite you to join me in the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, as we continue to look at some of the appearances of Jesus following his resurrection. This morning I'll be reading from John chapter 20, beginning at verse 24. Will you hear now God's word? Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, unless I put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house. This time, Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." He said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength and our salvation. Amen. I love butterflies. And so several years ago, when I was serving as the pastor at Abernathy Memorial United Methodist Church, I decided that during the Lenten season, we should order some of the larva, the caterpillar larva, have those delivered to the church and allow the children to take part in letting the caterpillars make their transformation into a butterfly. And I had done all of the research and had figured out the amount of time that it would take for this transformation to happen on this particular type of butterfly. So I ordered them in plenty of time. The children all got their containers of larvae, and they named them, and we watched them and we fed them, and then they turned into caterpillars and they got larger and larger, and we continued to feed them. And then they got ready to go into their chrysalis stage, into their cocoons, and we watched them. And we waited. We waited. We waited for something to happen that we could not see. Friends, this morning we encounter Thomas. Thomas, who wasn't with the other disciples. Remember our story from last week. They were locked behind the doors and Jesus came and interacted with them. And they continued then to go confess to everybody that they had seen the Lord. And so Thomas, who wasn't with them, they say to him, "Thomas, we've seen Jesus." Thomas thinks maybe they've been on something or they've had some sort of special kind of mushrooms and they're talking crazy like Mary had talked crazy earlier in the day. And so Thomas says to them, "You know what, friends, unless I see it with my own eyes, unless I see those hands and unless I can touch them, unless I can see the side and touch it, I'm not going to believe." Well, so then let's go forward a week later and the disciples are together again. And this time Thomas is with them and the doors shut and Jesus appears. And Jesus doesn't waste any time. He heads straight to Thomas and he says, "Thomas, look, here's my hands. Look, Thomas, here's my side. Touch it if you need to. Do not doubt. Simply believe." Thomas doesn't reach out his hand and touch him. He simply looks at Jesus and says, "My Lord, my God. My Lord, my God." In fact, what Thomas does is makes a full confession of his faith. He fully recognizes Jesus as the living, breathing Son of God, full in his divinity and his humanity. "My Lord, my God." Thomas believes after he has seen the risen Lord himself. Friends, I wonder, I wonder how many of us find ourselves a little like Thomas. A little like Thomas saying, unless I see it for myself, I'm absolutely not going to be able to believe it. I need some proofs. I need some facts. I need some evidence to support that which I've heard from my friends or my colleagues or the people around us. So maybe like Thomas, we get the reputation of being a doubter. Doubting Thomas, that's how we know of this man in this story. Actually, the Greek word there really believe, really says unbelief, not doubt. It's gotten translated in English as doubt. It really is saying unbelief. So Jesus really says to Thomas, stop not believing and simply believe. So maybe there's some of us that, like Thomas, are just simply not believing. We're not willing to accept that which we cannot see. Sometimes, maybe like doubting Thomas, we get a bad reputation. I would like to think, though, that doubt and not believing is simply a part of our human nature. I believe that sometimes from our doubts and our unbelief come amazing questions that open up to us new ways of looking at things. They open up to us new opportunities. They give light to our souls. Our questions open up places in our hearts and in our lives that allow for God to work in amazing and beautiful ways. Perhaps it's doubt and unbelief that lead us to be open to possibility, to open to maybe something could possibly be true. There are others of us, though, that our doubt and our unbelief seems to harden our hearts. And perhaps to put us into a place of stubbornness where we refuse to believe or we refuse to question because we simply doubt the existence or the possibility of something. Our hearts and our minds seem to be closed off. I'd like to think that's not who Thomas is. Thomas isn't necessarily the one with a hard heart and a stubborn one that's totally unwilling to accept the possibility of a risen Christ. Thomas, though, is allowing his questions, his wonders, his concern, his doubt, his unbeliefs, leaving that open to the possibility that perhaps Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. I love to ask questions. In fact, since I was a small child, I've been told sometimes I ask too many questions. Sometimes people might think that's intrusive or being nosy. I like to ask questions. Several years ago, I read, when I had 2 4-year-olds in my house, I read a statement that the average 4-year-old asks 437 questions a day. Remember, I had 2 of them in my house at that time. That, friends, is a lot of questions. That is a lot of questions. Sometimes, though, all of us ask lots of questions because we wonder. We can't quite wrap our minds around something that we cannot see. We struggle to believe that which isn't reality to us because we can't quite get our minds around it. We experience some sort of a diagnosis from our doctor, and we wonder. We wonder how this could possibly be happening to us. We learn of the unexpected and untimely death of a loved one. And we wonder, how in the world could a loving God allow such a thing to happen? That job that we had so diligently given ourselves to for so many years, suddenly we learn from our boss or our manager that we've lost our job. And we wonder how it is that we're going to navigate the next steps of our lives. We wonder, we question, where is God in the midst of all of this? Where is God? Where is God when life is just simply challenging, hard, and difficult? Butterflies. Butterflies go through a process that's called scientifically metamorphosis. They come in their larva as the ones that we received at Abernathy Memorial and fed them with the food that was sent to us. And then they begin to grow into a caterpillar. And once they'd reached their caterpillar stage, you move them into a different place so that they could go into their cocoons, so that they could go into their chrysalis stage and begin or finalize their process of metamorphosis. Friends, if you've ever watched this change happen, you cannot see what is going on inside of a cocoon. You cannot put your human eye around that cocoon or that chrysalis stage, and you cannot see what is happening. Something is happening. You know that the caterpillar, you watch the caterpillar make its transformation and its transition into this cocoon, and now it's hanging in a cocoon, and every once in a while you see it wobble or shake. But other than that, you have no idea what happens. And yet your scientific knowledge and your scientific brain tells you that out of that cocoon is going to come a butterfly. But you cannot see. You cannot see what's happening inside of that chrysalis. You cannot see that a lot of work, a lot of God's amazing creation is happening inside of that cocoon. Yes, you could study and you could learn that essentially what happens is the caterpillar digests itself, all except for these discs that were part of the caterpillar's life in its infant stages. And these discs are part of the adult body of the butterfly. And so the caterpillar digests all of itself except for these disc parts. It literally becomes like mush inside of the cocoon, inside of the chrysalis, and cell division happens. 50 cells that are there at one point rapidly divide into 50,000 cells, and then over a period of time, the cocoon begins to loosen. Metamorphosis happens, and a butterfly emerges. You cannot see. You cannot see what happens in the side of that cocoon. The Hymn of Promise is a hymn written by Natalie Sleeth. It says this: in a bulb, there is a flower. In the seed, an apple tree. In cocoons, a hidden promise. Butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. In cocoons, a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In those difficult times in our lives, in those challenging places in our lives, we as people who've encountered the story of the resurrection, we can know with confidence that it is not the end of our story. That diagnosis, that loss of our job, that ending of a particular relationship, the death of a loved one, any sort of hardship that we might face in life is not the end of our story. Because friends, the resurrection allows us to believe that which we cannot see. We cannot see in that moment where our hearts are broken and anger seems to take over and fear and frustration and concern. We can't see in that moment what is happening. And yet, because of the power of the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, we can believe what we cannot see. Jesus says to Thomas, have you only believed because you've actually seen? Blessed are those who believe and have not seen. You and I will never encounter the risen Lord in our presence. Jesus has ascended to be with God in God's fullness and reigns in heaven and intercedes on our behalf. We're not part of the first century Christians that had the opportunity to see the risen Christ. And yet blessed are us who believe what we cannot see, because the story of the resurrection allows for us to believe that which we cannot see. That cancer diagnosis, that devastating news, we can find hope because of the resurrection. Debbie read to us from the book of Romans. Romans, Paul says, who will separate us Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? No, says Paul. And no, says the church. We are convinced that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else. The death of a loved one, a diagnosis of cancer, a terminal illness, a loss of a job, a miscarriage, and the list goes on and on and on. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that we have found through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The resurrection allows us to believe that which we cannot see. The resurrection allows us to have hope in the midst of our hard times, because we can believe that God is working in our lives and in our midst, and that hard place is not the end of our story. Little Jedediah was a 4-year-old that was a member of from my home church in Cullowhee United Methodist Church, and Miss Laura was the 3- and 4-year-old Sunday school teacher. And Jedediah was a student in her school class where she had been, was a preschool teacher, and she invited all of her students to come to her church and be part of her Sunday school class. Well, little Jedediah's family took her up on that opportunity. And so every Sunday morning, his father would show up about the time that Miss Laura was going to get out of her car, and his father would meet Miss Laura in the parking lot, and he would exchange Jedediah, and Jedediah would run off with Miss Laura to begin his day in Sunday school. We sang every Sunday before our Sunday school classes, and during that time, Jedediah learned all the songs of our faith. Songs like "Jesus Loves Me," "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands" that our children sang. And there Jedediah even learned the song "Hymn of Promise" from our United Methodist hymnal. In fact, that became his favorite song. As a 4-year-old, he loved to sing about, in that seed there's an apple tree, and in cocoons a hidden promise that butterflies will soon be free. Jedediah's life on this earth was taken way too soon. He was killed in a tragic car accident, and the funeral happened at my home church. And all the children of the church stood that day, and we sang together the hymn of promise, just as Jedediah would have wanted us to. It was his favorite. We sang this: in our end is our beginning, in our time infinity, in our doubt there is believing, in our life eternity, in our death a resurrection, at the last a victory, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. Friends, because of the resurrection, you and I can believe in those things that we cannot see. Remember those butterflies back at Abernathy Memorial United Methodist Church? Those ones that we waited and waited and waited for? The ones that the pastor of that church had planned this glorious butterfly release on Easter Sunday at the cross that was right outside of our sanctuary. It was going to be beautiful. After worship, we were all going to go outside, and we were going to stand at the cross as the children flowered the cross, and then we were going to release the butterflies. Except we were still waiting. We had to believe that which we could not see. So at that time, the parsonage, there were no butterflies Easter morning. And yet the resurrection came, and we celebrated that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. We lived in the parsonage, and it was just beside the church. And so later that day, I went over back to the sanctuary to clean up the things that I'd left on the pulpit from the morning. And I walked by that place where we were so hoping those caterpillars would have emerged to butterflies in time for Easter. And as I walked by, three of them, sometime between 11 o'clock worship and the middle of the afternoon on Easter, had gone through their metamorphosis stage. And there they were, waiting to remind us that we can believe that which we cannot see, because of the power of the resurrection. So the next week when we celebrated Easter, because every Sunday is a little Easter, those butterflies floated off into our great big world. In our doubt, there is believing. In our life, eternity. In our death, a resurrection. At the last, a victory. Unrevealed until its season. Something God alone can see. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.